lifted up today. You know why? Because these can be very discouraging days. And some of you today probably are down in the dumps, maybe. Do you know I read just last night when I got in about 11:30 last night, I read where tomorrow, January the 20th, the third Monday in January, is called Blue Monday. Did you know that? Blue Monday. Supposedly, it's one of the most depressing days of all the year, tomorrow. Why? Because people have come out of Christmas, people are in debt, the winter time, the cold weather. I don't know about that, but I've got a feeling there's some of us today that need to be lifted up. I want to preach on the subject of, do you need a lift? Yeah, I believe you do. And lifted up is what the Lord has placed my mind and heart on today. And speaking of being lifted up, I was riding down the road last week and going to visit a man, a dear friend, and hadn't seen him in just a few weeks. And anyway, 72 years old. And this man is bedridden at this point, and it just looks like it's going to be a matter of time before the Lord takes him on home. And anyway, I was going to visit with him, and my heart's been heavy, and I went to see him when he was in the hospital up in Athens Regional, up in Athens just a couple of weeks ago. And so I must confess to you, as I've been reaching out to the family, I felt a little heavy-hearted. About that time, the telephone rang. I was on my way over to visit him. He lives over in Edenton. Brother Jim, that is J.R.'s dad. Anyway, the phone rang, and I said, hello. And it was a young man on the other end. He said, Brother Randy, can you hear me? I said, yes, I can hear you. Go ahead. He said, this is Daniel. He said, I just want to tell you what happened to me today. He said, I've been really thinking about where I'm going to spend eternity. And he said, I've been in Carrie's room. I've been thinking about her. I've been thinking about, you know, the things hereafter. He said, Brother Randy, I just felt like it was my time that I needed to get things right with God. He said, I got down on my knees and I said, and I'm just paraphrasing what he said. He said, I asked Jesus to save me. I asked Jesus to forgive my sins. And I said, I know you. I believe you died for me, Lord Jesus, and you rose again, and I'm needing you to forgive my sin, and I want you to save me right now. He said, Brother Randy, Jesus saved me today, and I wanted to call and tell you about it. I said, well, wait a minute. Praise God. Am I hearing this correctly? I'm riding down the road, and my, you talk about lifted up. And I said, well, do you know that you're saved? I know that I'm saved. I said, how do you know that you're saved? He said, Brother Randy, I was there. I was there. I felt Jesus as he came into my heart, and I trusted him as my Lord and Savior. And I said, well, praise God. Hallelujah. What a good day. What a blessing this is. And I tell you what, that young man is sitting right here today. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Amen. Woo! Glory, glory, glory. You talk about lifted up. You talk about encouraged. Wow, lifted up. And speaking of being lifted up, I stood around a bedside about 4 years ago. A young lady, 40 years old, was battling with a brain tumor, and I was with her husband and her children, and the time was about 4 o'clock in the morning as we gathered around her bedside, realizing the Lord's will was to take her on to glory. And there, as we prayed and the angels came and escorted her into heaven, we just praised the Lord for those years to spend together. And shortly thereafter, I had the privilege of sharing at her homegoing service. And I remember visiting that husband the next day. I went to his house, and as we sat down together, I said to him, I said, my heart goes out to you, and I don't know what the will of God is concerning tomorrow. But after a few days after that, I met with him again, and I said, he was beginning to share the grief and the journey of being with his dear wife. And I said, well, listen, my brother, I don't know what the will of God is concerning the future, but I do believe if it's God's will to bring somebody else in your life, certainly, I'm going to pray for you right now. Well, that was 4 years ago. I had the privilege of standing at the altar here just a few days ago on Thursday, and God brought a young lady in his life, and he was gloriously remarried. I'm talking about lifted up. I'm talking about encouragement today. And sometimes we get lose sight of, and maybe our terminology may not be just right. In fact, it reminded me one time, I'll never forget, we were riding down the road. We had a cat at that time. Anybody need a cat, by the way? The church cat out. I see the cat still here. Bless the Lord. Somebody needs to take that cat home. But anyway, we were riding down the road, and we had a cat named Frisky. I'll never forget, Beth was about 4 years old at the time, and we were going to stay overnight. Well, she was concerned about the little cat, and she said, Daddy, stop. I don't know if Frisky, I'm afraid Frisky's going to die. And I said, well, Beth, what's the matter? What do you mean? We're just going to be overnight. And she was concerned that Frisky didn't have any food. She said, Daddy, Frisky's going to die of starvation. She meant starvation, but she said salvation. She missed it a little bit, and sometimes we can miss it as well. But I want to tell you today, there are four guaranteed breakthroughs that I believe that you can experience today as we consider being lifted up. Now, the text we're going to look at today, the Lord has had me to preach. I looked at the record, three messages of the last 28 years from this particular text. And matter of fact, it was one back just a few years ago, 2016. But I want to tell you, this Bible right here is inexhaustible. You can preach from the same text over and over, like we've been doing on Sunday night. Revelation chapter 2, I think we've had about seven or eight different messages on one verse in the book of Revelation. So, having said that, the Lord birthed this on my heart this week. Turn to James chapter 4. The book of James chapter 4, lifted up. And I believe you need to be lifted up today. James chapter 4. There are four breakthroughs, and they're guaranteed breakthroughs for you and me today in the book of James chapter 4. Please turn there. Now, you're well aware of the fact of who this is and what's going on at this time and who he's writing to. For example, this is, I believe, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus. And unlike Paul, he does not go into much theological discussion and dialogue, but James is more from a practical perspective. He gets the rubber where it meets the road. And not to say that he doesn't address some theological issues as well, but he's more interested, it appears, the Spirit of God was leading him to deal with practical Christian living. And we're going to look today at the book of James. We're going to look at chapter 4. But before we get to chapter 4, let me just remind you, in chapter 1, we can take the good with the bad and make the best. Let me say that again. We can take the good with the bad and make the best. Let's say that together. Take the good with the bad and make the best. Say it one more time. I can't hear you. Will you do that today? Take the good with the bad and make the best. Make the best of the situation. I know that's easier said than done. But we find that in James 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then James said, if we lack wisdom, we can ask of God. That's chapter 1 and verse number 5. And then James talks about being double-minded. We'll talk about that in a little while. That's James chapter 1 and verse 8. And then James says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. When he's once been approved, he will receive the crown of life. And then James describes about receiving the incorruptible, indestructible word. That is, the word of God, this engrafted word able to build you up. And that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers. That's James 1 and 22. And then we come to James chapter 2. And he deals with the matter of showing partiality, not only in the church, but outside the church. And then further, in the latter part of chapter 2, he says if a man says he's got faith and he doesn't have works, this man's faith is dead. And then chapter 3, taming the terrible tongue. Who can do it? Only God the Holy Spirit. That leads us to chapter 4. I want to draw your attention today in chapter 4. We're going to pick up in verse 4. The title of the message is Lifted Up. And I believe there's four definite breakthroughs, four guaranteed steps for you to have breakthroughs today. And I believe the Lord is going to meet with us. I really do. I believe God's going to give us some help today. And so we're looking at James chapter 4. If you've got, say amen, and you can stand to your feet if you want to read James 4. I begin reading in verse 4. Our text is, however, going to come from verse 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Verses 6 through 10. But let me just pick right up in chapter 4 and verse 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, he's speaking of spiritual adultery here, and know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity. The word enmity means hostility. It's enmity against God or with God. Whosoever, therefore, will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Verse 6, you know it. You need to mark it if you don't have it. But he giveth more grace. I like that. He giveth more grace. Say that with me. He giveth more grace. Yes, he does. He gives more grace and more grace. By the way, do you know what that word more grace is? It's the word mega. And the word mega means, mega, large, great. He giveth more grace. Keep reading. He giveth. And by the way, the word giveth there is present tense. It means he keeps on giving. Oh, yes, he does. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, verse 6, God resisteth the proud. That is, he's opposed to the proud. Are you a proud person? I know we ought to be proud for our nation and, you know, in a good kind of sense, but there's a bad kind of pride as well. But he says, he giveth more grace. God resists the proud. Well, what do I mean by bad kind of pride? Self-reliance, self-dependence, rather than dependence upon God. But he, look what he says. He resists the proud, but he gives grace unto who? The humble. The humble. And that word, again, humble, is the word that means to be dependent, reliant upon God. Are you reliant upon God today? He gives grace to the humble. Submit, therefore, yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Here's where I get the message. Humble yourselves. Verse 10. Humble yourselves. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. If you want to be lifted up today, can I tell you how to do it? Humble yourselves before God's mighty hand. If you need to be lifted up today, will you humble yourself before God's mighty hand? This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart today. Father, thank you that you are alive and real. And Lord, there are times when I find myself depending upon the arm of flesh rather than you, the power of the living, risen Christ. I'm asking now today, Father, for your grace and glory, Lord, to be manifested in each of our lives today. Lord, we're wanting to draw near to you because you said you would draw near to us. So, Father God, accomplish your will in this time, changing hearts, lifting us up, and, Father, encouraging us, pouring in great grace in our heart, and when all said and done, we'll thank you for it. Lord, do what only you can do, and I ask you now for that fresh anointing, that fresh oil, because without you, I'm totally bankrupt, Lord. I'm totally, Lord, left to myself to dishonor you, and so I pray now that as you meet with us, God our Father, you'll tear down the strongholds of the enemy. God, you remove the blinders, you deliver us from critical spirits and judgmental spirits and hypocrisy and worldliness, and Father, anything and everything that'll keep us from pursuing you, knowing you, and letting you be known. I ask that first from my own heart, and I thank you for what you're up to in our lives. Give us grace now, dear Lord, to take our place in the cross today, crucified with Christ, and we just thank you now for victory over the world, the flesh, the devil. We thank you for victory in the blood of the Lamb of God and through the word of our testimony and by your living word. And I ask you, God, to release your mighty power, restrain the works of Satan and every lying spirit in Jesus' name, the name above every other name. Thank you now for what you're up to. And we just pray now, God our Father, you'll help us to, Lord, yield afresh to you. And we bless you now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. We're talking today on the subject of be lifted up. Be lifted up. And here's where we're going in the message today. Here's where we're going in the message today. Number one, if you and I need extra grace. Watch this. If we need extra grace, all you got to do is ask. And that's all you got to do. If you need extra grace, I find that in verse 6. He giveth grace to the humble, but he resisteth the proud. If you need extra grace, is there anybody in the house of God that needs extra grace? Come on, talk to me. Amen. I need it, and I believe you need it too. We need extra grace. That means mega grace. And wait a minute, but there's a second breakthrough I think is going to discover in verse 7. It's this. If you and I not only will, watch this, if we will not only, if we need extra grace, then thank God, all you got to do is ask. But number two, if you and I, listen now, beloved, don't miss this. If you and I are willing to come under God's authority, then the Lord will set you over the devil's territory. I like that. Submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I'm going to elaborate on that in a moment, but hold that thought for right now. Number three, not only if you need extra grace, all you got to do is ask. And not only if you're willing to come under God's authority, then the Lord will place you over the devil's territory. I'm talking about in your own life. Number three, if you will wash your hands, then God will cleanse your heart. And God, watch this, he'll keep you from double-mindedness. I'm convinced that every one of us in this place today are battling with double-mindedness. I dare say every single one of us are battling with double-mindedness. This is a big battle for, I'm talking to Christians now, double-mindedness. Exactly. And you know where I'm going. It's hard for you to stay focused, isn't it? It's hard for you to get anything out of the message today. Why? Because you're double-minded. Why? Because your mind's on something else. That's what we call double-minded. And therefore, that's the big battle. All right, I'll hold that thought for right now. But number four, if not only we will need extra grace, we can just ask God and he'll give it to us as we trust him. And number two, if we'll come under God's authority, then the Lord is sure to put us over the devil's territory. Number three, if you and I will wash our hands, will you wash your hands? And then God will cleanse our hearts and keep us from double-mindedness. Do you see that in verse number 7 and 8? Verse 8, he says, verse 7, submit to God, resist the devil, he flee from you. And draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, that your laughter be turned into mourning. Your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves. In the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. And then finally, number four. The fourth guaranteed breakthrough for you and me today is this. If you and I will take the first step, God will meet you right where you're at. I said the Lord will meet you right where you're at. Now, you know, the danger for you as a Christian is you're getting accustomed to this. You're accustomed to messages and sermons. And I'm praying the Holy Spirit of God will just quicken your heart today, that you will, like me, to draw near to God. Some of you need to really draw near to God. We all do. But wait a minute, number one. If you need extra grace, all you got to do is ask. That's all you got to do is ask, because grace is in place. I love this old saying. I can remember it years ago. It goes like this. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he added his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no ending. His power has no boundary. Known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and he giveth and he giveth again. Aren't you glad that, listen, brother and sister, you can't exhaust the storehouse of God's grace. And when you're in need of grace, God gets a shovel load and says, you're not going to run out of grace because my grace is in place. And there's some of us today that need to say, God, I need a double portion of your grace. Lord, I'm going through a turmoil time in my life. I've got affliction on every side. And some of us need the grace of God in order to be overcomers and in order to persevere and honor the Lord without a bad attitude. God, give me that supernatural, extraordinary grace. Oh, yes. Lord, grace that's in place. I need your grace to love. I need your grace to forgive. I need your grace to live a holy life. I need your grace to pursue you. I need your grace to pray for other people. I need your grace, Lord, to be the husband, to be the wife, to be the daddy, to be the mama, to be the son or the daughter or the soul winner. I need your grace to be the Christian in these days that'll bring glory and honor to you. God, give us more grace today. You're not hungry, are you? I tell you, if you get hungry, God said, I'll feed you. Oh, yes. Speaking of grace, you might not think you need grace today, but I came to tell you, you're going to need it. Can you hear me? You're going to need grace. And some of you know right now you need it. I was getting my oil changed last week at a place there in Covington prior to coming and being at the wedding. And I got a telephone call. Speaking of needing grace, and it was a dear friend calling all the way from East Point, Georgia. Grace. I'm standing in the oil changing place, and my phone didn't ring, but he left a message. I called him back, but the message says this.
Brother Randy, this is Brother Warner Smith, Jerry Bellows' stepfather. I have a request for you. I need you to pray for my son, Talmadge Smith. Talmadge is waiting for open heart surgery. They're looking for a special surgeon. He was at Rockdale, but they're going to send him to Piedmont, but they're sending him home to look for a special surgeon to do this surgery. So if you'd lift him up in prayer, I certainly would appreciate it. Good to talk to you, Brother Randy, and I love you. Thank you.
Grace. Grace, grace in place. And so I stepped out of the oil changing the store and got in the parking lot and called Brother Warner back. He's 92 years old, by the way. His son is 72 years old. Half of his heart's not working. He needs a surgeon. And Brother Warner called. I said, oh, God, I need to get a line to heaven, Lord. I need your grace to be able to pray. And I said, Father, you know the surgeon that you got for Talmadge. God, we put it in your hands and ask you, dear Lord, to raise him up or send him in or her or whoever it is. And we thank you now for doing it. How many are going to be praying for Brother Talmadge? Grace in place. Oh, yes. And the Lord gives us that grace that would be in place. I've got a pastor friend who goes tomorrow. Pastor Jerry Knight, you know him. He's been here several times over the last few years. Pastor Jerry sent me a text message and said, I'm talking about grace in place. He said, Brother Randy, please lift me up on January the 21st, which is tomorrow. I go and I'm supposed to have some lymph nodes taken out. And he's already been battling with prostate cancer a few years ago. But he said, I just need you to pray for me. How many know that when somebody asks you to pray for them, it's imperative, it's important that you and I are walking with the Lord or else we won't get a line to heaven. This is the reason that we come to church. This is the reason why we got to fellowship and stay in fellowship with God. It's not just for your sake. It might be for somebody else's sake. They need you and others to pray for them. And thank God when you get down and when you got some terrible difficulty or some problem you're going through, how many know that you need somebody to get a hold of God? I'm so grateful to God for people in the past who could get a hold of God when you need somebody to touch heaven. Yes, Lord, we need your grace in place. A man yesterday, well, it was last week, a man came up to me. He's a deacon at a church, and I love this man and just a faithful brother. He's a young man, very young, in the Lord. He said, Brother Randy, will you pray for me? He said, I've got a lump in my throat, and I can't even swallow now. He said, I don't know what it is, but I got to go to the doctor. And I was dealing with somebody else at the time, but I could tell he was serious about it. And I said, sure, I'll pray with you. And I confess, I don't know why I did it, but the Lord just, some reason, I looked at him right in the eyes and I said, do you dip? You chew tobacco and all that stuff? He said, yeah, I'll admit it. I said, well, you need to stop that. I'm going to pray for you, but first you need to stop that. I don't know if that's causing it. I'm not saying it is, but I'm saying this. The Lord moved on my heart just said that. But I love this brother. And we prayed, and I believe God, that God would do a work there for his glory. Grace is in place. Grace is in place. How many need prayer today? Let me see your hand. I believe that. And so, look, beloved, it's important. We can play games with God if we want to, and we can pretend like church and play, you know, churchianity and all that stuff. But if we're not right with the Lord, God's not going to hear our prayers. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord don't hear us. That's Psalm 66, verse 18. I'm just saying this. This is what propels me. This is what motivates me. And I'm not always in the will of God either. And I have to confess my sin just like you do. But that's the importance of staying right with God. And oh God, I need for your grace. Give me some extra grace today. I love the story I heard about a little girl that went to the department store and she had wanted some candy. She saw it on the counter. The owner of the store looked at the little girl and the mama and said to the little girl, would you like some candy? She said, I'd love some candy. He said, go ahead, reach in this jar, handful, and it's yours. She just looked at him. He said, go ahead, reach in the jar and take a handful. She just looked at him. By that time, he reached his hand in there and pulled out a handful of candy and gave it to her. She grabbed it with both of her hands and walked out of the store, sat in the car with her mama, closed the door. Her mama looked at her and says, honey, why didn't you get your handful of candy? They said to get you a handful of candy. And the little girl said, mama, his hands are twice as big as mine, all right? I want to tell you something. Y'all listen to me. God's hands are twice as big as mine, amen? Oh, yes, they are. He's got grace, and it's in place. It's for you today. Yes, let's ask the Lord for his grace, but he giveth more grace. God said he gives more grace. Yes, I need grace, Lord. I need grace to come under your authority. I need grace, Lord, to love you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I need grace in this race. But wait a minute. He said he resists the proud. Why does God resist the proud? I'll tell you why. Because the proud resists God. Again, the key word there is dependent. The key word there is reliable. God is opposed. God resists the proud. Why? Pride is power out of control. Humility is power under control. And that's why the Lord said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, because he cares for you. You know what, beloved? I mean this from the bottom of my heart. God knows my motives when saying this. That's why I appreciate our men and women. We're not ashamed to get on our face before God. He's a holy God. Amen? He's a mighty God. He's boss, buddy. He's boss. I'm not boss. I'm nothing. But if you don't have humility in your heart, then there's a problem there. You're not going to get grace. I'm sorry. You won't get it. God resists the proud but gives grace. Now this is going to sting what I'm fixing to show y'all. Are you ready? Put the brake on. Y'all put your seatbelt on. This is going to sting a little bit what I'm fixing to show y'all. Are you ready for it? It's going to sting a little bit because I want to go a little bit further. Pride versus humility. And listen, beloved, when I'm preaching something, God has already raked me over the coals. God has already, and I've had to do some confessing too. Notice, pride, a proud, and by the way, don't look at your neighbor and say, I hope you sure are listening, amen. This is for you and me. We all got a little pride in us, dependence of ourselves. Reliable. Notice, the proud rarely think they are wrong or admit they're wrong. Does anybody fit in that category? Rarely thinks they're wrong. I don't know about y'all, but the hardest words sometimes to say are, I'm wrong. Say that with me. You got by it. You said it. It's all right. I'm wrong. We're not always right. We're not Mr. Right and Mrs. Wrong. Sometimes we can be right and be wrong. And so the point is not to point at each other, but the point is this. God, I need grace. I'm willing to humble myself under your mighty hand. I've got to stop excusing and blaming my flaws on everybody else. A man came up to me last week and said, Brother Pastor, he said, pray for me. I said, well, what's the matter? He said, I find myself losing my temper. I said, no, you don't. You're finding your temper, all right? You're not losing it. You're finding it. And so I said, well, you pray for me. I'll pray for you. Hey, look, the humble are constantly aware that they are or could be wrong. You could be wrong, right? And the sooner we admit it, the sooner we humble ourselves under God's hand, the better off we are. How many know that you're not going to win that fight, the husband and wife? It's better go ahead and say, you know, honey, you're right, or I was wrong. You don't get anywhere. You get nowhere at all. It just is defeating the purpose. James says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. There is a second guaranteed breakthrough for you today. Watch this. Number one, if you need extra grace, all you got to do is ask. I said, all you got to do is ask. Will you ask today? Will you ask today? Will you ask today? Will you ask today? Well, he said he gives more grace. But number two, I like this part. If you and I are willing to come under the authority of God, God's authority, then the Lord will place us, he will put us over the devil's territory. How many want the devil to be under your feet? Come on. Oh, listen, brother. It's a battle, sister. It's a battle, daily battle. One of our men, I was talking with him earlier, and I was really going through some spiritual warfare, I believe, this morning early. Anytime you expose the enemy, you can rest assured the enemy's not going to like it. But that's all right. Thank God he's defeated. Are you under God's authority? Are you under God's authority? What does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means to come under his authority. Notice, when you come under God-given authority, you come under a covering, under a protection. Where authority is functioning properly, there is peace. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. Are you willing to come under God's authority? Look at me, brother. Listen to me. I thought about this. How many know that we've needed this thing lately? We've needed this lately, have we not? But authority is like an umbrella. It's like an umbrella. And you see, I can have this umbrella all day long and walk out in the rain like this, but it's not going to do me any good, right? No. Or I can stand about halfway under the umbrella and then halfway out of the umbrella, and I'm only going to be half dry and half wet. Otherwise, I've got to come all the way under the umbrella. Oh, wait a minute. Some of us want the blessings of God. We want the glory of God. We want God's protection in our life, but we're not willing to come under his authority. How about it? Are you willing to come under God's authority? Are you willing to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? God has authority in the home. God has authority in the church. God has authority in the world. God has authority. And therefore, may I suggest to you that we, if we don't come under God's authority, we will not be able to resist the devil. I want you to see verse 7. Don't miss it. Look at it. Here James says, he says, submit to God, therefore, and resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Submit. Let me talk about that word submit just for a moment. Do you know what that word is? That word submit is the word hupotasso. And the word hupotasso is a military term. Those of you that served in the military, submit to God. Hey, look at me. Submitting to God is a voluntary decision on your part and my part. It's not something God's going to force you to do. However, let me remind you, God can get our attention. Oh, yes, he can. And the Lord loves us, but the Lord, watch, he wants to protect us. How many parents want to protect your children? How many parents want your children to come under the umbrella? And when we step out from under God's protection, we're open target for the enemy. Sometimes we can't see it. Sometimes we got blind spots. Sometimes we're unaware of the enemy's attacks. And that's why I plead today that God is saying you need and I need to come under the authority of the Word of God, authority of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Are you submitted to the authority of God? If not, you need to be today. Why? Because you will not have protection unless you are under. That's what he's saying right here. Submit to God first. You know what we want to do? We want to tell the devil to leave us without submitting to God. I'm going to tell you something. The devil will laugh at you and me. We try to ask the God to get the devil away from us. And if we're not under the authority of God, that's a really serious business, isn't it? Amen. It's really serious. Is there anybody out here that's half under the authority but half under the umbrella? You know, Lord, I want a little bit, but I don't want it all. You can't be halfway and halfway out. Some of us today need to swallow what maybe we're going through and say, God, I want to get all the way under your authority. Why? I want your blessings, Lord. I want your, how many want your protection on your family? You want God's protection on your family? Now, you can turn a deaf ear today if you want to. All I'm doing, I'm the mailman. I'm just bringing the mail. But God is saying, you need to come under his authority. You want his blessings? Are you under his authority? Are you willing to submit to his will? That means all parts of your life, as it is to mine. Doesn't mean perfection, no. But it means when you get out from under his authority, you got to come back under his authority. People want to be self-made men today. People want to be self-made women today. I don't care what a preacher says. I'm going to do what I want to do. All right, go ahead. Either God's word is true or it's not. And I submit to you that it's true. And that's why the Lord has placed it in his word. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. All right. We were talking last Sunday night after some of our Bible study, and a couple of people stayed back, and we were talking about, I'm just going to dabble in something that's probably, you're aware of. We're not aware of the cunningly and the scheming devices of the devil. We think it's cute and funny, but it's really not. We were talking about this particular people that I was talking with saying years ago, they dabble with the occult or Ouija boards. Maybe some of you are familiar with what I'm talking about. Some people today think, oh, this is innocent, and all we're having is a little seance, and all we're doing is a little horoscopes, and I don't really believe in all that stuff anyway. Well, I just want to tell you this. You open the door to the devil, and I'll tell you, demon spirits will come, and they'll begin to harass you. They'll begin to try to manipulate you. They'll begin to control you. I do not believe a Christian can be possessed of demons, but I do believe a Christian can get out of the will of God, and then demon forces can begin to wreak havoc on your life. So, serious business here. Submit to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. He'll flee from you. Two brothers I was praying with here recently, I did not know, but as I was praying with them, after we finished praying, one of them said to me, said, we hadn't spoken to each other in over a month. I said, really? Nope, we hadn't spoken to each other in over a month. Why? Well, he's mad, I'm mad. I'm going to tell you something. This gives ground to the enemy. Neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give jurisdiction to the devil. I heard this years ago. I don't know if it's true, but I wouldn't be surprised. Anyway, imagine for a moment, I've got 1,000 acres of land right up here. 1,000 acres of land. How many know that's a lot of land? Amen. But if I have 1,000 acres of land, if one person owns 1 acre of land inside of my 1,000 acres of land, I've been told by law, I'm not absolute positive, but I wouldn't be surprised, by law, you can access that 1,000 acres of land any way you want to get to that 1 acre of land, because it's right smack dab in the middle of that 1,000 acres of land. In other words, you've got access to that 1 acre of land. The bottom line is this. Look, if we give the devil an inch, he'll take a mile. You can't, and I can't afford, listen, I can't afford, you can't afford to let the devil take any ground in your life. You say, but oh, I don't, it's just a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. Neither give place to the devil. The word place there, by the way, is the word tapas, which means jurisdiction. Maybe there's some people today that says, well, I'm just, I'm not really, but no, give place not to the devil. Come under God's authority. Submit to God, resist the devil, and then he will flee from you. Can I remind you about how we do that? You and I are no match for the supernatural forces of darkness. Let's face it. I mean, we are no match whatsoever. But our victory comes in Jesus. Notice what James said. He said in verse number 8, draw nigh to God. Let's say that together. Draw nigh to God. And then God will draw nigh to you. God will draw near to you. Isn't that what worship's all about? Hello? Isn't that what coming to church is all about? I want to draw near to God. I want God's presence in my life. How many want God's presence in your life? How many want God's peace in your life? How many want God's power in your life? It's not going to come just automatically. You and I must take the steps, as we're talking about today, to draw near to God, to seek that extra grace, and then to come under his authority. Are you willing to come under his authority today and say, Lord, I've seen people that's been in the church for years and say, I'm my own boss and I do what I want to do, but now all of a sudden I realize I'm accountable to God. I've got to come under his authority. I know this is a bitter pill to swallow now in our, in our age of do what you want to do, but God's telling us in his word, this is how to have the blessings in your life, in your home. So draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning. Your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. That leads me to point number three. Hey, look, are you willing to come under God's authority? The Bible tells us that we're not fighting, watch this, for victory. We're fighting from victory. Hello, glory. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about Jesus has already won the battle. He stripped and spoiled principalities and powers and made a public open display of them. We have authority in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus, by the word of God. It was the word of God that Jesus said to the devil, "Be gone, Satan, it is written." He came under the authority of the Father, and he quoted the Bible, and the devil had to flee. Is there anybody here? The devil's been putting all kinds of thoughts in your mind. Oh, yeah. Is there anybody here that the enemy has been attacking you and lying to you? Now, listen, beloved, it can happen to the very best Christians. In fact, I've noticed that if I'm not careful, any of us can be deceived. Any of us can be misled. Any of us. And the further you get with God, listen to me, the more the attacks of the enemy. You can rest assured the enemy's not going to be happy, and he's going to unleash his hordes of hell on you and on your family. That's why, listen to me, look at me. You and I cannot afford to be passive over this issue. You can't afford to be passive. The enemy will come in like a flood, and he will chew you up and spit you out. Peter put it this way. Be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary. The word adversary is diablo, which means slander. The adversary walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. It don't matter how long you serve God. It don't matter what kind of position you've got. It doesn't matter who you are. The enemy knows if he can't send you and deceive you, mislead you, to say no to Jesus and go to an ultimate place called the lake of fire, you know what his next agenda is to knock you out of the will of God, to wreck your testimony. And he'll do whatever he can. Amen? We're under attack. How many will say amen? Come on, don't be passive about this thing. Don't you just skip in and skip out. You better get up the armor of God. I love you. I'm your pastor. Don't you dare take this thing lightly. Don't take this thing lightly. We are in a spiritual battle. I said we're in a spiritual battle. And yet the battle's the Lord's. And sometimes we forget as dads, as husbands, as men and women, mamas, you think you can just get out of the will of God for a little while? Man, you can't afford to get out of the will of God. You'll mess up and my soul, the devil's real. But Jesus came to give us life and give it more abundantly. And I'm so glad, thank God, Jesus said they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. You know what? I'm telling you this. I've seen a many people right here. And I'm not saying this for any other reason. I hope you really believe what I'm saying. If you don't, I can't help it. All I got to do is say it. I've seen many people step out from under the authority, the word of God, the lordship of Jesus Christ, doing their own thing, thinking they got the right answers. And then, next thing you know, they just drift further from God. They drift further from God. It's subtle, man. You can't see it. It's subtle. And the enemy's a liar. And don't think for one moment that he's not trying to tell you and me that, oh, we can do it without God, and I used to do this, and I've been in the church here, and this and that and other. No, the question is, are you under the authority of the word of God today? Is there anything in your life that you need to line up? Hey, let's do it today. Let's do it today, because there's victory in Jesus. And then I want to say something. It's going to sting, but I love you. It's going to sting, but I love you. The third response is this. The third response is this. If you will, not only if you need extra grace, all you got to do is ask. You can ask today, God, I need grace. Number two, you and I need, if we're willing to come under the authority, God's authority, God will place you over the territory of the devil. By the way, the enemy doesn't care your mind, your will, your emotions. You give him an inch, he'll take a mile. You just start dabbling in this music, you think it's cute and funny, it's not. The devil will get a toehold on you, a foothold on you. Next thing you know, he knows where you're headed. You think you're stronger than him. You're not. You and I need the whole armor of God. Amen. We're in war, brother. We're in war, sister. Can I get an amen? And then number three, will you wash your hands? Let God cleanse your heart and then keep you from double-mindedness. I'm going to say something now. I know it's not going to be popular. But I need to say it just because I love you, and I know that you know it. I believe you know that I love you. You know where double-mindedness comes? And you know why we're double-minded these days? James said this, not Pastor Randy, James did. He said, submit to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Then he said, draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. Then he said, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, he shall lift you up. I'm fixing to say something that you're not going to like. But you know where double-minded comes? I can say this from personal experience. Some of these so-called funny movies and sitcoms and YouTube and that stuff and books and friends, Lord, and make jokes about God and the things of God, it's not funny. It's not funny. And we live in a culture that's ha-ha-ha, everything's funny. And there James is saying it's not funny. Now, it's all right to laugh. We need to laugh. You know, merry heart, do a good like medicine. But we live in a culture that mocks God. And they mock Christians. And we go and see this junk on television, movies, and we just laugh about it. He says, look what James is saying. I'm just telling what he's saying. And you know what it does? Here's what it does. It creates a double mind. It creates a double mind. On one hand, in church, I'm spiritual, man. I'm spiritual. But then in the world, yeah. That's worldliness. And that creates a double mind. That's why some of us can't stay focused on spiritual things. I was praying with somebody last night. We were talking about focusing in on prayer and how our minds wander. All of us are facing this, beloved. James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. You know what that word double-minded means? It's double suke. The word suke is soul. It shows a picture of a double mind. This is exactly what it says. We can't be double-minded thinking like the world and striving to have the mind of Christ simultaneously. It simply won't work. And this is what we're facing, is it not? Come on, I need somebody to help me. This is what we're facing. I know you're facing it. I'm facing it too. I know we got to be in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. And you know what the problem is? I'm saying this, I love you. But the average Christian today, in order to get in fellowship with them, you got to backslide from God. That's strong language, but it's the truth. Why? Because the world's had such an influence on us. I know we're in the world, and some of you already chalked me off already. I'm just saying that I battle this stuff. I can't fill my mind with a bunch of junk and be spirit-filled. I just can't. And I can tell. Listen to me, beloved. I can tell when I see something or hear something or whatever. I can tell. If I entertain the thought and laugh, I've grieved the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a God who's real. I'm not talking about a little play God. I'm not talking about your little God that you conform to your image that you want to be like he... you want him to be. I'm talking about the God that's the God of the Bible. There's a difference in that. And we're living in a day and a time when people make fun of God and they mock the things of God, using God's name in vain. That's not funny. Hello, it's not funny. Somebody talk to me. Does it bother you? Can you sit there and watch that junk and laugh at it? Come on. We need to get real. Now, I'm not trying to be negative here, but I'm just telling you. God, that's what the Lord's saying through James. Cleanse your hands, you double-minded. Are there times when right now that we need to, and I'm not talking about perfection here, I'm talking about we can confess our sins and get right with God. Have you ever felt the presence of God in your life and all of a sudden you felt you grieved the Holy Spirit, you did something or you entertained some thought and then also like the Holy Spirit, the sweet dove of God, flew away. You can get it back. I'm going to tell you how in a moment. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Last but not least, here it is. Will you take the first step? God will meet you where you're at right now. Will you take the first step? God will meet you right where you're at. Notice what he said. Draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. I'll tell you what. Y'all listen to me. I'm done. A message like this, only those who are serious are going to respond. Majority of people, they're not going to respond. This is too strong, man. This is strong stuff. It convicts me. Does it convict you? It convicts us, doesn't it? It really convicts us, and we just kind of you know, let it roll off her back. Only the serious are going to take this serious. Are you going to take it serious? You take the first step. God said, I'll meet you where you're at. Oh, yes. If you'll take the first step, God will meet you where you're at. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning. You join the heaviness. Humble yourselves, the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Y'all listen. There's not going to be a revival in New Rocky Creek or in your home or in America until the people of God get right with God. We can blame it on the politicians. We can blame it on the Democrats. We can blame it on the Republicans. But God says the buck stops right here with the church. Amen. Y'all don't like that, I know, I can tell, but it's the truth. And I love you. So, I want revival. And I know that I'm not all I should be either. What about it? Let's stand together, can we?